Hello and welcome to the South Carolina Lead. You trust the lead to keep you up to date on important state news, and we've been doing that more often as our state faces the COVID-19 virus. I'm your host, Gavin Jackson, and this episode was recorded on September 25th, 2020, from my home studio here in Columbia. Just so you know, some of the information in this podcast may have changed by the time you've heard it. This podcast cuts through the noise and gives you South Carolina-specific COVID-19 news and stories. This episode features a look at what lawmakers did during their special two-week session. We hear an economic update from Richmond Fed President Tom Barkin. Dr. Anthony Fauci shoots down some common COVID misconceptions. And just how bad is South Carolina when compared to other states when it comes to COVID-19? Well, like many lists we don't want to be on top of, we're in the top 10. This and much more to come. That's like my Kai Rizdahl voice right there. Just bringing it out. Additionally, we want to hear your stories. So we set up a voicemail box to hear from y'all about your daily life in these uncertain times. Leave us a one-minute long voicemail at 803-563-7169. Leave us your name, where you're calling from, and what's going on in your world. We're all very interested to know how things are going with you. So please leave us a message, 803-563-7169. Now for the latest in South Carolina. Currently, the spread of COVID-19 is ongoing, widespread, and not contained, according to Department of Health and Environmental Control data. There have been 3,114 deaths, and currently there are 140,056 cases being reported in all 46 counties as of September 25th at 4 p.m. There are currently 773 hospitalized patients with COVID-19, 191 are in intensive care, and 101 patients are ventilated. Our current percent positive rate for the state is 11.1%. Also, we have some more updates from DHEC. On September 24th, Doctors Care reported more than 7,000 negative and positive test results to DHEC, which includes approximately 400 individual positive results. Now, these results cover a time frame from July 1st through September 23rd. DHEC announced this on Friday and said it continues to reiterate to labs that positive and negative labs are required to be reported to DHEC in 24 hours. Now, all this news comes after the big announcement on Tuesday that on September 21st, Augusta University Healthcare in Georgia reported approximately 15,000 negative and positive test results to DHEC. Those results cover a time frame from March 18th through September 17th. Now, approximately 13,000 of those results were negative and 2,000 were positive. However, these positive test results do not mean they are active cases of COVID-19. So a lot of out-of-state reporting, a lot of reporting issues there getting cleared up, it sounds like. Otherwise, we've been seeing some declining numbers, which is good. However, we're still topping lists, and we got more on that in our medical section. The General Assembly wrapped up their special two-week session on Thursday, and with it, the entire legislative year. That's right, pencils down, folks. All the bills are dead. We'll see you in January. So, to catch you up on everything that happened, I caught up with Associated Press reporter Jeffrey Collins on This Week in South Carolina, where he discussed what lawmakers did and didn't do, and how it affects you. Here is part of our conversation.
Essentially what the lawmakers did before they left in May was copy and paste last year's budget to this year's budget. Just everything remained the same because they were very unsure how much revenue the state will take in this budget year. So then when the Senate came back, they added a few things to that. They added about $50 million for education, most of that going towards step raises for teachers, which are those small several hundred dollar raises they get for each year of experience they have. They also added about $20 million that would give $1,000 bonuses to state employees that make less than $50,000 who had to work with the public during the COVID-19 crisis, like, you know, prison guards, state troopers, some frontline healthcare workers. And they did a few other things. They set aside $500 million of the roughly $750 million the state has just for in case we have mid-year cuts. They set that aside. And then they sent it over to the House. Well, the House went along with the governor's office, who said, look, we don't know what's going to happen, so let's just not spend anything extra at all, wait till January and see if maybe we can do a few of these things then.
And I was talking to House Minority Leader Todd Rutherford of Columbia, and he was saying, you know, another reason that they didn't really take up the budget was because they were worried that it would kind of go off the rails a little bit in terms of people adding amendments to it, trying to bring up a bunch of different issues, some social justice issues. Was that also a calculus at play there, essentially, that they didn't want to devolve into something that they really couldn't control?
Yeah, you follow the budget process around here, you know, there's every year there's a debate over abortion. Every year there's some debate over some education items. This year, there probably would have been some debate maybe over some Heritage Act issues and some Confederate monument and flag issues and that kind of thing. So, yeah, I think there was also a thought in the House is that we can, by not doing anything, we keep that kind of thing from going on and maybe knocking the session off track. Mm-hmm.
But it's still encouraging news to see that the state has that money, essentially. I mean, compared to other states and how they have fared, you know, we still have a substantial amount of one-time dollars. We still have some recurring money. Again, lawmakers, leaders want to see how this plays out before they start committing money to it. But it's good to know that that's kind of the fiscal shape we're in as a state right now.
Well, and the specter that is remembered by both the budget leaders in the Senate and the House is the 2008 Great Recession, when South Carolina had to take out like $1 billion from its budget. And there were agencies that said that it took them a decade to recover from that massive cut in 08 and 09.
You are there at the State House Thursday, the last day. There's a bill going through the House right now that just got passed by the Senate dealing with incentivizing investment in rural broadband, probably the one big good thing that we're seeing come as a result of this horrible pandemic. Can you kind of give us an idea about what we might be seeing from this and how this might dovetail into the CARES Act funding, the federal money that we're getting to help support the state during this time?
I think that was the surprise of yesterday, was that, you know, this bill had been kind of dormant and not spoken about a lot for a while. But, you know, suddenly about 6:37 o'clock Wednesday night, you know, they said, hey, we've got a compromise in the Senate. They passed it. It provides enough money to give about 200,000 people or families houses broadband service, which in rural areas, and it allows the access to power lines, which everybody has electricity. So that's the easiest way to get to these houses is through their power lines and through the fiber that's already cables that are already leading to those houses. So this should provide, I mean, you know, if you, depending on what numbers you look at, maybe a third of what's missing in South Carolina, fourth to a third of what's missing, and it also allows the state to access federal money that's being given to states to help expand this broadband capability.
Thanks, Jeffrey. And now moving on, we've talked a lot about absentee voting on here, and now, again, here's an update. You will still need to get a witness signature if you are casting an absentee ballot by mail. An appeals court has upheld the signature requirement after a federal judge previously threw it out. So now literally anyone can be your witness on this absentee ballot. Someone standing in line with you, wherever you are, even a doorman or the woman who works at your local deli or your Uber driver and maybe your spouse or roommate, anyone. Just got to get that thing signed if you're going to send it in via mail. It is said that by doing this, you are going to help prevent fraud. So you can educate your doorman about that when you get him to sign it. Now, counties are already mailing out absentee ballots. You can apply for yours and find out more details about absentee voting so you can explain them to your local haberdasher on scvotes.org. And as we leave this section, I want to remind you to tune in to SCETV Monday evening for the first congressional district debate between Democrat Joe Cunningham and Republican challenger Nancy Mace. I'm moderating the debate with the Post and Courier's Jamie Lovegrove Monday at 7 p.m. from Beaufort. You can watch this over the air anywhere in the state on South Carolina ETV channels, South Carolina Public Radio channels, and online on our social media platforms. The hour-long debate will go quick, but DM me if you have any burning questions you'd like to hear addressed. Like the data for new cases, hospitalizations, and deaths, we seem to lose track of the humans, our fellow South Carolinians, behind those numbers. And that also seems to be the case when we talk about the unemployment numbers here every week, and how just over 100,000 South Carolinians are still receiving measly unemployment benefits, a level that's 7 times higher than where we were pre-pandemic. Now, Thea is one of those people, and she gave an impassioned plea on C-SPAN's Washington Journal on September 18th, just hoping for someone to hear her.
Well, due to the COVID-19, I couldn't work because I had the underlying diseases. I have sarcoidosis, I have sickle cell, and at that time, my sugar diabetes was a 10. And my doctor thought in my interest that it was time for me to leave that job for a little while. I'm a healthcare worker. I've been working this job for 33 years. I've tried unemployment, tried to file for unemployment. At this point, I don't even have insurance to take care of myself. I lived in my house for 25 years, and I don't even have the money to take care of myself. I'm a single parent. I took care of my children, and now I feel like I have to go and ask my kids. My job, I think I was sabotaged, really. I think they keep directing unemployment, saying that they asked me to work. I got the papers back from the doctor stating that I could go back to work, and they told me they have no hours for me. So I'm just in really a rut. This morning I'm getting up, and I've been looking for jobs, and just for some reason I can't get one in my field. I've been a CNA working in a nursing home in Hilton Head, South Carolina, and for some reason I just can't get no help whatsoever. And I got foreclosure on my house. I just paid off my car, and I just feel like in the next couple of months I'll be living in my car. I don't want to depend on nobody because I've taken care of myself for years, forever, and my children. And I just think this is so awful because I can't get my medicine. I think the insurance, they said that Mr. Donald Trump said that he was going to have the insurance until the end of the year. I can't even go to the doctor. At that time, my diabetes was 10. He wanted to put me in the hospital, and I told him I didn't want to go. He talked to me over my phone because he didn't want me to come in the office. And he asked me, he said, do you have COVID on your job? I said, we just had two people to die. We had three girls to go at the time. He said, you can't go back on that job because you have illnesses that it will kill you. And now I think they just got upset with me, and they just throwing me away. And I just needed somebody to hear me, to listen to me, because this is wrong. I'm 57 years old. How am I going to make it? I feel like I'm going to be homeless. That's how I feel.
That's just an absolutely heartbreaking call. You heard her talk about working a job for 33 years, owning a home for 25, and then suddenly everything's on the brink and possibly gone. And she is not alone. A lot of people are facing similar situations. But just an update with Thea, C-SPAN received hundreds of emails after that call from people looking to help. And CNN reported that even a lawmaker reached out to help her as well. Now, we really need to bring back that neighbors helping neighbors phrase we always hear politicians talking about during disasters, now more than ever. And if you need someone to talk to, check out AARP Community Connections at 1-888-281-0145. Or if you need resources in the mental health community, call SC Hopes at 1-844-724-6737. And if you want to share some details about your economic situation and how it's been affected by COVID-19, we'd love to talk with you and include it in a broader economic piece. You can leave us a voicemail at 803-563-7169, and we'll be in touch. Speaking of unemployment, we have an update on the lost wages assistance money that is now being paid out from the South Carolina Department of Employment and Workforce. Remember, this is for people who are drawing at least $100 in benefits during the first 3 weeks of August. The program will pay out an additional $900 to those who qualified. And Tom Barkin, the president of the Federal Reserve Bank of Richmond, spoke to the Rotary Club of Greenville via Zoom this week. Now, Barkin watches several metrics to keep up with what's happening, including the infection rate, initial jobless claims, labor force participation, which is the rate of people looking for a job, the savings rate, and inflation. So that's what he's looking at when he's kind of getting an idea about the health of our region and our state's economy. And now during the question and answer portion of his Zoom speech, he was asked what business leaders should watch for when we're looking at the election and the results.
It's hard to know. I've actually gone back first of all, I'm not going to answer the question. Second of all,
good idea.
Second of all, as I have gone back and tried to look at, you know, close elections, not elections, one party or the other, I don't think you can find much in history that suggests that, you know, the economy as a whole is dominated by the identity of the president. I think we have a pretty decentralized, pretty capitalistic economy, and it's, you know, dominated by the actions of, you know, business leaders and consumers. And I think those tend to, you know, overwhelm the impact of whatever the government chooses to do or not do. That doesn't mean you won't have particular sectors that, you know, will be happier or less happy with a particular outcome. But, you know, I'm pretty confident that we've got an economy that for, you know, 250 years has prospered under both parties.
Barkin oversees the economic health of the 5th District, which includes the Carolinas up through Maryland and West Virginia. Now, he shared his views on the future of working from home and migration patterns that could benefit places like South Carolina, something we've heard over and over again.
I think cities like Greenville that, you know, have a very robust, you know, jobs development program, right, which you guys have been brilliant at, I'd say, for 25 years, have a very attractive, you know, in-town environment. And a very affordable cost of living, I think, are going to be, you know, well situated. So I fully expect Greenville and South Carolina more broadly, you know, to the extent you see that movement out of the bigger cities, to be a very strong competitor there. I think people get really quickly drive all the way to the end and say, you know, we're all going to live in our beach houses until the end of time and no one's ever going to go to an office again. But I don't know that that's true. I think if you as an employer think that culture matters, if you think that, you know, knowing people closely, if you think that, you know, offline small conversations where you mentor someone or coach them or, you know, give them some insight matters, I think it's going to be hard. I've not seen any record of people really working fully remote for lengthy periods of time. In fact, I think Bank of America 2 years ago brought everybody back, you know, just as an example. But I do think flexible, you know, is going to get underlined here. And I think that's good. I mean, and so the notion that you can actually operate remotely for a day or two when you need to, I think that'll help.
Well, I wish I had a beach house to go work remotely from. Also, fast fact, Barkin vacationed in Pawleys Island during Memorial Day weekend. Now, he said that he's optimistic that there won't be a second shutdown, mostly due to case stabilizations and the economic damage the first shutdown rendered on the economy. You can watch his entire speech via a YouTube link in our show notes. Also, this just in. There is a jump in tea prices, folks. Head to the harbor. We need to revolt. Oh, no. No, we're not. We're not doing that again. Oh, no. This is just COVID-related people. Sounds like more people are drinking tea, and they have driven the wholesale price of tea up by 50%. So it's not a British thing. Stand down, Patriots. False alarm. Tea time. South Carolina has the second highest percent positive rate in the country, and it is the 10th worst when it comes to COVID-19 transmission. Now, this is not me speculating here, folks. This is according to a White House Coronavirus Task Force report issued this week, and it was obtained by ABC News. That's because these are private reports, and even though it affects us, we don't find out about them unless they leak. So, the report also gave recommendations, one of which was to cut hours and lower occupancy rates at bars in college towns. Look at you, 5 points. Now, again, like I said, these are private reports with very important public information that are sent to governors and state officials each week. We only hear about them when they're leaked, so you would think state officials would update us on their findings and recommendations, but we don't really have weekly briefings anymore. So here you are. I'm letting you know. You can find a link to that report in our show notes. Now, it might seem like there's a lot of national stuff in this episode, and there is a little bit, but I always want to make you aware of important and interesting things that are going on, and if you've already heard them, well, it doesn't hurt to hear things again, especially if your memory is anything like mine. So you may have already seen the recent back and forth between Kentucky Senator Rand Paul and Dr. Anthony Fauci during a Senate hearing this week on COVID-19 topics, ranging from New York's handling of the pandemic to herd immunity and more. Even though it was fiery, it was a really great discussion, and there were some important facts from Fauci. Even though he has a less gravelly voice, still good to hear from him. Now here's Senator Rand Paul again talking with the doctor.
Dr. Fauci, today you said you are not for economic lockdown, yet your mitigation recommendations from dating to baseball to restaurants to movie theaters have led to this economic lockdown. Do you have any second thoughts about your mitigation recommendations, considering the evidence that despite all of the things we've done in the U.S., our death rate is essentially worse than Sweden, equivalent to the less developed world that is unable to do any of the things that you've been promoting? Do you have any second thoughts? Are you willing to look at the data that countries that did very little actually have a lower death rate than the United States?
You know, Senator, I'd be happy at a different time to sit down and go over detail. You've said a lot of different things. You've compared us to Sweden, and there are a lot of differences. And you said, well, you know, there are a lot of differences between Sweden, but compare Sweden's death rate to other comparable Scandinavian countries. It's worse. So I don't think it's appropriate to compare Sweden with us. Yes, we have, I think in the beginning, we've done things based on the knowledge we had at the time. And hopefully, and I am, and my colleagues are humble enough and modest enough to realize that as new data comes, you make different recommendations. But I don't regret saying that the only way we could have really stopped the explosion of infection was by essentially, I want to say shutting down, I mean essentially having the physical separation and the kinds of recommendations that we've made.
But you've been a big fan of Cuomo and the shutdown in New York. Okay. You've lauded New York for their policy. New York had the highest death rate in the world. How could we possibly be jumping up and down and saying, oh, Governor Cuomo did a great job? He had the worst death rate in the world.
No, you misconstrued that, Senator, and you've done that repetitively in the past. They got hit very badly. They've made some mistakes. Right now, if you look at what's going on right now, the things that are going on in New York to get their test positivity 1% or less is because they are looking at the guidelines that we have put together from the task force of the four or five things of masks, social distancing, outdoors more than indoors, avoiding crowds, and washing hands.
Or they've developed enough community immunity that they're no longer having the pandemic because they have enough immunity in New York City to actually stop.
I challenge that, Senator.
I'm afraid, please, sir,
I would like to be able to do this because this happens with Senator Rand all the time. You were not listening to what the director of the CDC said, that in New York it's about 22%. If you believe 22% is herd immunity, I believe you're alone in that.
Missing that COVID zaddy voice right there from Fauci. But it's still there, still strong. And again, quite the back and forth there and some interesting points to take home. And with so much going on, it's important to hear these debates and get the full story and facts. Now, this is our wind-down section where we want to hear from you. Tell us what's happening in your world. What world are you living in? What's it like? Are you going to work? Are your kids going to school? Are they at home? Are you at home? Are you on the front lines? Tell us what's happening. We want to know. 803-563-7169. Don't be afraid to call in. If you've been thinking about calling in, now is the time. We want to hear from you. AT, do we have any voicemails here?
We do. This is still from pre-break.
Okay.
So these people are really, I'm glad that they called, but I need some new calls, okay?
Yeah, okay.
I feel like this is a pledge drive, but I'm not asking for any money.
No pledge.
Just under 3 minutes of your time, okay?
Yeah.
So let's roll it, huh?
Roll that beautiful bean footage.
Hey, Gavin and AT. My name is Ryan, calling you from Columbia. Found your podcast about the first week of March, and it's probably been my most consistent source of news about the pandemic since this whole thing started. So thanks for all that you've done. Also, hope that we get to do another Zoom happy hour sometime soon. I became a backyard work from home farmer during the pandemic and have grown some miniature pumpkins that I want to show off. So hope we get to do that again soon. I know the pandemic's been really strange for all of us. I'm a pastor at a church in downtown Columbia And we transitioned to online services mid-March. Most of our churches, small groups are meeting outside, though, at someone's house on Sundays to watch the sermon together, sing together, basically help keep each other sane. We also have a monthly outdoor prayer meeting that we've been doing in our parking lot. So everybody brings a chair and a mask, and we get to spend some time praying together for our city and the world. I do have a highlight I want to share since the pandemic started. I get to brag on my church family a little bit, too. Back in March, we set up a special benevolence fund so that anybody in our church could donate, and we've had almost 100 people in our congregation either get furloughed or lose their jobs altogether. And our church family's really stepped up. They've raised over $48,000 to help others in our church in need. So we've been buying groceries for folks, helping with car payments and rent payments. It's been strange because whenever somebody asks me how the pandemic has been for me, it feels a little weird, but I've been really encouraged. I get to call folks every day and say, hey, can we pay your light bill? So it's been really encouraging to see folks stepping up generously to help one another out in time of need. Also got some adult good news and, unfortunately, adult bad news to share with you guys. The adult good news is we actually received a $10,000 grant from Richland County to help meet the needs as they arise in our church. The adult bad news is we haven't seen any of that money yet, and the county hasn't really been the easiest to work with, which is pretty frustrating. But I'm hoping that we will get a check in the mail here soon. Anyway, again, just want to say thanks for the great content that you guys have been putting out. Appreciate especially the segments on domestic abuse, drug abuse, anxiety, depression. I know those are all issues that we've been seeing more and more in our community, so appreciate all you guys do to get the word out for people so they can get the help that they need. Enjoy y'all's break next week, and look forward to hearing more podcasts soon. Bye.
Great hearing from you, Ryan, from Columbia. Love hearing about the gardening and the pumpkins. We definitely do need to do a Zoom happy hour soon. I don't know how we're going to do it, perhaps since October is going to be nuts, I think is going to the easy way of saying how crazy October is going to be.
Wacky.
Don't know. It's going to be nuts. But also awesome to hear about the benevolence fund you were talking about too. I mean, that kind of ties into what we were talking about with Thea in our economic section right there. Neighbors really helping neighbors, going to really, you know, rely on those community connections to help people out there. So great to hear. And again, like you mentioned, you're talking about, substance abuse and some of those situations, the difficult situations a lot of people find themselves in, even more so now. I'm going to hopefully hear from Dayota soon about the most recent data that they've been seeing. So stay tuned for that as we go forward, because it's probably not going to be too encouraging, but that's the reality we're all facing right now. So
I want to commend Ryan on a very well-composed voicemail right there. He gave me sound effects cues with the adult bad news and adult good news. Mm. So like, I love that. He knows how the show's supposed to go. I love it, Ryan.
Well, he's a pastor. He knows how to give a homily.
Call in whenever you want, Ryan. Come on.
Yeah. Let us know. Keep us updated. We'd love to talk and maybe even talk to some of your flock one of these days, do a little story on them.
Very
sounds
cool
like a lot
story
going on there. So
very
great
very
stuff.
Cool.
Let us know. Also, you know, let us know if you have some cool stories happening in your neck of the woods. We'd love to keep up with you guys. You don't have to tell us maybe about you, but about anything happening in your neighborhood and your community. We'd love to check it out and talk with folks.
Oh yeah.
803-563-7169.
If you ever want to do an interview and be anonymous, I love pitching voices down. So, I mean, you're doing me a favor if you want to. If you want to spill some tea,
I could eat a peach for hours.
Face so, off, Gavin,
baby. Yeah,
Gavin. We had a beer last night on the porch, right?
A single beer. I might have had two.
We had two beers.
I was overserved, definitely.
He was definitely overserved, but he told me. That
don't tell him. Wait, what are you talking about?
You were telling me about your Instagram.
Yes, and, the IG algorithm has me pinned.
It has him pinned. But I mean, I think in Gavin's mind, he's living quite a different life than he is, because he told me that when he looks at the search tool on his Instagram, all he sees is golf and private jets.
I mean, how is that not my life?
How is it not? You also told me, and I wrote down to bring this up, that you just bought for the first time a trash can with a lid.
I mean, how does that meshes up? That matches up.
That just aligned so well in my mind that I thought, hey, we had to bring this up. I mean, absolute illustrious lifestyle.
I mean, I love looking at that life. That's always interesting to see how the rich live.
If anyone and then the could see you right now,
like another reason why anyone can see me right now with my comforter behind me and my
But he also looks like you're about to get on a yacht somewhere.
Yeah, I've been actually this whole taping has kind of really prevented me from getting back onto my yacht. The ecstasy,
ecstasy of the seas, S-E-A. Ecstasy.
That really just came to me. It's a Royal Caribbean.
It's a Royal Caribbean cruise. There's a 100% you will get sick on my boat.
I'm having dinner with the captain. That's what he calls himself. He's actually a drunk. He doesn't know his name. calls himself the captain.
Your Instagram, it knows you.
Yeah.
It's got
and
you
I
pegged.
Think it's trying to make me into someone that I'm not, which I'm also worried about. Maybe it's subtly influencing me.
You don't want to be a golf bro. Yeah, but we both don't.
Perhaps I can like casually leave my phone out and people can see my Explorer and be like, whoa, look at this guy. Looks like he's a pretty big deal. You know, they'll be like, oh,
wow.
He must have raised his kids in the right school districts. You know, that's what they'll be saying. That's what they'll be saying. They'll say that.
Nah, we've both said that we identify as golfers more as Muni course golf scum.
Scum.
So, yes. Yeah, I don't tuck in my shirt. Hell no, we won't go tuck in shirts, you know. I'm a real rebel on the links.
Yeah. You got that tattoo, actually, right? Yeah, I got a
full back tattoo of John Daly with no shirt on. I've never seen it. My friends say it looks great, though.
Everyone loves it. Yeah, and I also want to ask people if they've... Well, the trash can. Let me address the trash can here.
Yeah, let's talk about this trash can. I feel like I need to do this. With a lid. Proud of yourself. With a lid.
You know, it's just so nice to have one that you can just throw eggshells in. No one have to worry about stepping on something, all that stuff. But, you know, of course, it just gets to a point.
Stepping obviously. On them?
You know, you have to step on it to raise the lid now. I mean, it's fine. Oh, it's fine.
I thought you were throwing your eggshells on the ground.
Oh, well, I like to compost where I am. I like to,
I'll get them later.
I'll compost on my feet. No, but I will say, I don't think I brought this up, but, you know, I got this great new trash can. It's Kohler. It's bold. The Kohler. Bold new look of Kohler. And I got it at Costco.
It's a Kohler difference.
The Kohler difference. I was dying to get one. I was trying to find one at Lowe's over the summer. Couldn't find one. This one was just what I wanted. Sleek, chic, you know, things that come
fits
to mind.
Fits into
when
your
hear
lifestyle.
Me. Fits
yeah,
into my life.
Yeah.
The lifestyle. And so I got it. I'm like, great. Look at me. Everything's coming together in my life. And, you know, before you go on vacation, there are things you do. I didn't necessarily do all my dishes. I didn't put all my laundry away. Whatever. They'll be there when I get back. But you always take the trash out before you go, right? Like rule number one, right? Make sure there's nothing in that trash can. Well, since this new trash can has come into my life, things change, routines change, people change.
You forget. You forget.
You can't see it because the lid.
Out of sight, out of mind.
Well, it was out of sight for sure, but it was not out of mind when I walked into my back kitchen when I came home. Boy, oh boy.
Did you have new babies that lived in the trash can?
Let's just say I had to throw it out immediately, and the trash can had to sleep outside for a night.
Hell yeah, I love that.
I was like, oh my God. What did I eat? Anyway, yes, life has changed. I'm changing. This is one of those positive stories that we're hearing from quarantine. So
this is another positive quarantine.
Yes. You know?
Thank you, coronavirus, you know?
Stop. Do not say that. No, not at all. I would have gotten to this point at some point, but you know, are living at home more. And I do need to develop my list of pros and cons, things that we've learned. I know we mentioned it months ago, but anyway, I'll ask one. I want to put this out there too for folks. If they got hooked on any new podcasts while we took a break, if you did, we'd love to hear from you. Give us some recommendations. I was recently turned on to two podcasts from Representative Mike Akaski. I talked to him at the State House the other day. He mentioned the podcast Sway, which is hosted by the New York Times' Kara Swisher, and Left, Right, and Center. I need to check these out. I'm also using the Pocket Cast app. I don't know what apps you guys use, but it's great. You can make easy playlists that just kind of roll onto each other, and you can stream the pods instead of downloading them, so you're not taking up any space on your phone, and you can easily discover different ones. So it's very easy. It's very fun. I got some spooky season pods for you guys later. We can talk about it in October.
Oh, it's spooky season.
It's spooky season.
Ryan, you got those pumpkins just in time for spooky season, too. Yeah.
We've got to make some arrangements. AT, any new podcasts that you're listening to?
Me? I listen to QAnon Anonymous, obviously, which I can't endorse enough. They really explain to you all the QAnon madness.
Which is hard because you have to like think backwards and upside down.
Sean, one of our bosses, he sent me a podcast. Jeremy Renner had an app for a very short amount of time. And there's a weird podcast going through the lifespan of Jeremy Renner's app. And it is pretty wild. It sounds strange, but yes. I'm telling you, look it up. It's weird.
That pod life. Yes. Well, we'll be listening. Let us know. 803-563-7169. We'd love some recommendations. And if you can proselytize the lead.
Please.
Please do.
Make your entire flock listen.
Give us a review. Leave us a voicemail. We love hearing from you guys. And you can also stay up to date with the latest news on SCETV.org and SouthCarolinaPublicRadio.org. And don't forget to support your local newspapers. They are out there day in and day out bringing you the news. Also, consider becoming an ETV member. Membership starts at just $40, and if you pledge at the $75 level, you get access to PBS Passport and all the great programming your donation helps support. For the South Carolina Lead, I'm Gavin Jackson. Be well, South Carolina. Hey, Dad, can A2 come down?
Can we have a sleepover, Dad?
We can do something after Dad. We tape on, like, Dad. Oh, hey, Gavin's dad.
Is it okay? He said if I asked you and you were okay with it, that maybe I could sleep over.
AT's dad's cool with it.
Yeah, my dad's okay.
And Mrs. AT, his wife, is cool.
Yeah, the real boss.